Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Rick O'Shea is here in front of me, and he set us a target of trying to get through all of the books that himself and Louisa Cameron, owner of Raven Books in BlackRock, have listed for me here to go through. The bookshops are back open. We're all looking to go away on our holidays somewhere, and we want to bring a couple of good books. Rick, I'm going to let you kick off.
It's never going to happen, Damien, but we'll give it a go. I'm going to start with the book that I think kept me sane throughout the first 3 months of lockdown this year, and that's Sarah Winman's Still Life. It's only just out. Sarah Winman is the fantastic author of books like Tin Man and When God Was a Rabbit. This book starts at the end of World War II in Italy. The Allies are advancing. The war is pretty much just over. And a guy called Ulysses Temper is an English soldier. And he meets a historian, Evelyn. And Evelyn is there just to have a look and see what's been left behind. He ends up going back to London. London isn't quite the same as it was when he left it, and his family and friends are slightly different. And he ends up going back to Italy through a twist in the book that I won't tell you about. And then the rest of the story is set there up until the 1970s. So I got to live in Florence from pretty much the late 1940s right the way through to the late 1970s with a bunch of wonderful people and fantastic characters who have interesting things happen to them. It's not a terrible book. There's not awful things happen to people. They're minor little... They are such wonderful, lovely people. And Sarah Winman's an incredible writer. It's a perfect travel escape book if you can't travel.
That's Still Life. Now, Louise, Lucinda O'Reilly.
Lucinda O'Reilly is perfect summer reading. And I'm going to cheat a little bit here because her new book, The Missing Sister, is the final in her epic series, which is rooted around the mythologies, around the star constellation known as the Seven Sisters, also the name of the series. Each of the books in the series is enormous. They all clock in at kind of 600-700 pages, even 800 pages. So it's perfect for readers who want to just get swept away in a dramatic saga. The books take readers around the world, so again, great for travelling. It goes from coffee plantations in Brazil to the Scottish Highlands to gypsy caves in Granada. Each reveals the backstory to one of six adopted sisters who grew up together on the shores of Lake Geneva, and each tale is infused with strong women, there's drama as mentioned, romance, and the mystery of who the seventh sister might be. And now in the final book, all is revealed. So it is helpful. It's not essential to read the books in order. So listeners, if you have not read any, start with the first one, The Seven Sisters, and you have a glorious reading journey ahead of you.
All right, Rick, Panenka.
Panenka in football, Damien, which I only learned at the beginning of this book, is when somebody takes a penalty immediately straight in the middle and just dinks it, and the goalkeeper jumps to either side and they just score. The main character in this book is named after that because he commits a Panenka in a football match 25 years ago. And it is that which then shapes the rest of his life. I want to stress Panenka by Ronan Heshin, who wrote the wonderful Leonard and Hungry Paul, which was one Dublin One book this year, is not a book about football at all. Just the central character coincidentally happens to be a player. It's 25 years later. He's living in the same town. He's now a middle-aged man. He's trying to reconnect with his daughter, who he's been estranged for a number of years. He's trying to find a relationship himself as well in this small town that is all shaped by football. Again, if you like Leonard and Hungry Paul, it's about wonderful people who lead gentle, wonderful, interesting, fascinating lives. And it's, again, fantastically written.
All right. Louisa, A Shock by Keith Ridgway.
Yes, Keith Ridgway is a Dublin-based or a Dublin author based in London. This is a novel of vanishings, sometimes literal. There's a woman who vanishes into a wall, or a woman who vanishes from a bar. A couple disappear from an apartment without explanation. There is a journalist who vanishes literally by accident. A labourer who's forced to vanish into the attic. And sometimes the vanishings is the characters seeking to escape from their lives, disappearing into drugs or dreams or sex or politics, often into stories either told to themselves or to others. The storytelling is absolutely superb. The characters do not have a strong grip on their own reality. Names are very fluid. They're changed and misremembered. Identities shift depending on who they are with and shift again when they are on their own. Where the book absolutely excels is in its dialogue. Whether it's between two gay men getting high, or colleagues sharing stories over coffee, or the screaming expletives of neighbours overheard through the wall. We've all had that experience. The ordinary banter of the local pub is captured absolutely perfectly. Though very different culturally, these are the kinds of peripheral people who also inhabit Willie Vlauten novels. He also has a new novel just out this week. These are the people who are overlooked, who never get that break. They can't quite get it together, and they've their own way of navigating the world. Without spoilers, I felt the conclusion was pitch perfect. I found it a hugely satisfying read.
You got a shock?
I didn't actually get a shock. It just came together perfectly. There's that moment of click.
Okay. Now, the next one we have, Rick, is Louise Neelan, Snowflake, and it's related. It's a novel about Trinity. Is there a connection between snowflakes and Trinity?
Well, here's the thing. If I was to say to you, it is a novel about a young Irish woman who comes from rural Ireland and ends up going to Trinity, it might lead you in the direction of another contemporary Irish author who I'm going to put to one side for a minute, because that's not what this book is about. Now, Debbie is a young woman. She leaves the family farm to go to Trinity, but she leaves behind her mother. Her mother believes that the dreams that she has are prophecies, and has done for a very long time. Her uncle Billy lives at the bottom of the garden. He lives in a caravan, and he's possibly the most extraordinary character in the course of this book, and he's wonderful. But it's about Debbie going to Trinity and finding it immensely hard, finding that the life that she's attempted to create there is not the life that she thought she would have. It's about that connection with home and that connection with family as well. It's a funny book. There's a lot of great stuff that happens, particularly through Billy's character. But it's also, I think, immensely insightful and immensely wise about the nature of what it's like to come from somewhere that's not used to a college like that and end up like that. Mm. Louise Neelan, the author, this is her first book. It has become one of those books that's best-selling, and I think it's going to go on to become an even bigger sensation than it is. Definitely, this is one, if you're going away on holidays and you'd like to bring something with you.
All right, Louise, am I pronouncing it right? Priyumpa?
Jumpa Lahiri, whereabouts? Oh, yeah. Is that the one?
Yeah. No, I got it wrong. Jumpa
Lahiri. Yeah. This is, whereabouts is her first novel since The Lowland in 2013. She has been living and working in Rome, and initially wrote this novel in Italian a couple of years ago, and she translated it herself into English. The story is fundamentally a very simple one. A solitary woman walking through a beautiful Italian city. Again, wonderful for armchair travelling. And she's reflecting on her life, which is at a watershed moment, as well as taking in her immediate surroundings. So you get descriptions of the squares, the bridges, the coffee shops, the people she encounters. This is not a book to rush, not a page turner in that fast read sense of things. It's one to savour, to relax into the pace of this woman's contemplative meanderings. Now, that's not to say that her thoughts are always calm. At times she feels rage, she passes a couple in the middle of a fight, she becomes very overwhelmed by the sun and the heat. It's a book which at the end you feel like you've also been on a journey and are somehow changed by the experience. Lahiri's prose are beautiful. She's an absolutely gorgeous writer. Pared down, it's almost like poetry at a sentence level. She is, she's greatly influenced by the late Canadian short story writer Mavis Gallant. There is not like a word or a comma out of place. It's a very thoughtful book, both in its writing and in its content.
And nice if you love Italy. That's Whereabouts by Jumpa
Lahiri.
I'll get it right eventually. Well, from Italy to Northern Ireland and The Last Resort by Jan Carson, which is a set of short stories. Am I right, Rick?
Yeah, this is an even better kind of travel than going to Italy for it. This leaves you in a caravan park on the coast of Northern Ireland. Yeah, Jan Carson wrote the wonderful Firestarters a couple of years ago, which is still one of my favourite novels of the last 10 years, and who has a new novel coming out next year. The Last Resort is a series of short stories. They were all done on BBC Radio 4. They're all set in the same kind of slightly dingy caravan park on the coast of Northern Ireland. There are unusual things happening. So you've got a man who still can't quite get over his daughter's tragic death decades ago. You have a kid who's obsessed with Agatha Christie and is attempting to piece things together that may or may not belong together. You have a man who is giving refuge to people who need refuge in a caravan that seems to magically become bigger every time he puts another person into it. And all of these stories are in some way interlaced. And I'm terrible at this. I have absolutely no way of pulling stories together by the time you get to the end. And I definitely didn't with this. It's also quite thin. So if you're looking for something that's only less than a couple of hundred pages, and it's full of just these joyous, wonderful, interesting characters, it's called The Last Resort, and it's by Jan Carson.
Okay. Now, Louisa, what is The Anthill and where is that set?
The Ant Hill is a very timely read. In fact, it's set in Colombia, in the second biggest city in Colombia, Medellin, which has been in the news this last month, actually, over massive anti-government demonstrations. The book opens with Lina returning to Colombia after 20 years away. She was sent to boarding school in England after her mother's death when she was 8, and she is now searching for her childhood friend, Matty, to tell her what happened to her city, if she can still call it that, in the time that has passed. Matty now runs a centre called The Ant Hill for street kids, but her long anticipated reunion with him is not at all what she is expecting. It is quite a shock at the opening of the book, and they have very, very different memories of the past. For decades, Medellin had the highest murder rate in the world, but it has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. And the novel examines its transformation through the characters from a war-torn city racked by violence into this trendy and rapidly gentrifying destination for these sort of European do-gooders and digital nomads, Bitcoin investors. There are parallels to be made with Northern Ireland, actually, I felt reading it, when Matty comments on how in peacetime all of the old factions are still present, but you never know walking down the street who was once a paramilitary or political prisoner, who was once ready to kill you because of where you lived. Obviously, also there's parallels with Dublin, which has also been rapidly changing over the last 20 years. And there are questions asked about who's being left behind and who this new version of the city is being designed for.
OK, well, I'm going to stick with you because both of you, I'm going to give you one last pick from your lists. So,
This is like trying to pick a child. This is
This is easy for me. This is very easy for me.
I'm
going to do what every bookseller hates and talk about a book which isn't out yet. It is out in July, though. It is called The 32, an anthology of working class voices, edited by Paul McVeigh. It is very rare for me to pick up an anthology. And one of the reasons I really want to talk about this is the reason I picked it up, the very first entry is by Mr. Rick O'Shea. And I am not going to embarrass him by gushing.
Too late.
I promise. I will say, though, that the quality of his contribution made me want to keep reading, and I am so glad I did. It is exceptional. What all the contributors have in common is they are bona fide storytellers.
Yeah.
This is not school essays. These mini memoirs cover the entire island and a bit beyond, London, Dublin, Belfast.
What's it called again?
It's called The 32. And The 32, because there are 32 contributors, and obviously there are 32 counties.
Brilliant.
Absolutely superb. It is out in July. I highly recommend it.
You can only see me blush on RTE News now, thankfully. I'm going to finish with Unia Mannion's A Crooked Tree, which I don't think has been spoken about enough. It's part a story about a girl who's dealing with the aftermath of a childhood event. She's growing up in rural Pennsylvania in the 1980s. Her mother is widowed. There are five kids in the car. There's a huge argument happening. She stops the car and says to one of the girls, "Get out," and then drives home. And that girl then, Ellen, has to walk up the hill. Ellen doesn't quite make it back to the family house, and Ellen disappears. And so it's about the aftermath of that story. It is not, however, a crime story. That sounds like a setup for a crime story, and it's not. It's a coming-of-age novel, and it's written by Unia Mannion. It's called A Crooked Tree. I loved it.
All right, OK, we leave it hanging just there. So listen, it's great. I'm sure you're delighted to be back open once again, Louisa. Cameron there, the owner of Raven Books in Blackrock in Dublin, and Rick O'Shea, presenter of The Book Show here on radio. And we didn't get through all your picks, but you gave us a good flavour there of what we can look forward to this summer. Thanks a million, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.